talk to you today. It's almost like when you start a message, when I start a message, now I'm not sure if everybody's like that. When I start a message, I think this is going to be a message. And the Lord says to me, no, this is a three-part series. I'll tell you, that's a good thing for you. Because I'm not giving it to you all in 3 hours one time. Did you get that? All right. And sometimes I don't even know it's going to be a three-part series till I get into the message and the Lord says there's a lot more to this and you got to unwrap it. You got to unpackage it. So 3 weeks back or a few weeks back, I started the message because we had a cancellation. By the way, I'm really sorry that we didn't get the message out to everybody a couple of weeks ago about a cancellation for our church service. We actually rescheduled it. Some of you did come on Saturday. We had the service Saturday from 4 to 6. It was wonderful, and we didn't get the word out to everybody. Please accept our apologies, but we're going to do better, and we're trying to get all the emails. If we don't have your email, there's different ways people like to communicate, and I know not everybody's on the same method of communication, but we'd like to know how to best communicate with you, if your phone call or if your email, so we can get a message out. Accept our apology. God bless you. So, anyways, so we missed that 1 week, but or at least there was another week we missed. I forget what week it was. We did miss some storm days there. All right. Now, so the Lord was showing me that this message that I started a few weeks back on the kingdom of heaven is huge because it is the theme of Jesus. It's the topic Jesus talked about more than any other topic. And then when you read the book of Acts, and you follow church history, it was the message. It was the message. The message was that Jesus came and preached the gospel of the kingdom. He lived out the gospel of the kingdom. Then he said to his disciples, the gospel that I'm giving to you, I want you to go and share this gospel of the kingdom. The gospel which is empowered by my spirit. So we're going to backtrack here. Go to Acts chapter 2. There's a few references I want to look at, but here's one that we just had reference to. Acts chapter 2, you're familiar with. We already had some reference to it, but it's just a quick glimpse of this passage. Because Jesus is talking about it. We talked about this. Kingdom of heaven is a spiritual kingdom. Kingdom of heaven is an eternal kingdom. Kingdom of heaven is not of the earth. There's something that's powerful that's being manifested here. So when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about something beyond us, something that's supernatural, and something that, you know, manifests itself in the natural, but it's coming from heaven, which is supernatural. So first, that's the important thing you have to understand. So let's remember, who is Jesus? He is God's Son who came from heaven. He came from the spiritual, he came from the supernatural realm to be with us. He was the Word who became. Yeah, he was the manifestation of God, and the reality of heaven was being manifested through him. I love the way Jesus lived it out, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But when Jesus lived it out, he lived it out in a relationship with the Father. Just remember, we're coming back to that thought. So Jesus has lived this out now, and he's coming to the end of his life. This is the last section after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John comes what book? What's the book? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. All right. Now you heard me say this before. I'm speaking fast, so listen carefully. I said Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the works of Jesus, of the kingdom of heaven being revealed through him while he is here on earth. It's the work of Jesus, dependent on Holy Spirit, listening to the Father's voice, dependent on the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God, really, coming through Jesus, who's depending on the Holy Spirit. It's the work of heaven that God wants to manifest through the life of his Son, Jesus. That's what's going on in the gospel. But when he is getting ready to leave, he wants his disciples, his apostles, his followers, all of them, to realize, hey, what I've been doing, you're going to do. Let me tell you something. This is not exclusively reserved for the superstars. Even the ones he called, you wouldn't call them superstars. Ordinary people. I like the fact that when we look at this, this is for all of his sons and daughters. This is the work of the kingdom. So Jesus says in Acts chapter, I love this. You know, it's interesting because in the mind of the disciples, they thought that the kingdom would be revealed on earth. Now, there's coming a day when the kingdom will be revealed on earth. Jesus is going to come. Are you glad? How many are glad? He's coming to set up his kingdom on earth. But until that day, there's something going on. And even the, you know, here's the disciples. They're still thinking in terms of an earthly kingdom. But Jesus has made reference to the Holy Spirit. So in chapter 1 of Acts, chapter 1, verse 5, he says, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with Holy Spirit. Acts 1:5. So when they met together, they asked him, listen to what they say. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So they're still thinking about an earthly realm where Jesus is still thinking of an eternal realm. And he said, it is not for you to know the times. He doesn't say it's not going to happen. He said, not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But here is what is, hey, this is what's on the agenda. The Lord says, okay, that's for another day. That's for another day. But this is for today. Heavenly kingdom coming to earth is for today. So this is what he says. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What Jesus is saying is, listen, I have begun to do a work of bringing the kingdom of God to earth. Everything I did, it's interesting, Jesus said in his walk on earth, he says, I do only which I see my Father doing. How many remember that? In John chapter 5, he says, I do only which I see my Father, what I see my Father doing. As a matter of fact, he says, let's go to a few references here in John chapter 14. This is really, really essential to see where the Lord's taking us here today. So in John 14, Jesus' desire is that we would know him, that all his followers would know him. And it's interesting because I think even the disciples didn't have a real sense of what Jesus was calling them to, and they were so occupied with life on earth and with the concerns that they had, that they missed a lot of the teaching, the spiritual teaching, the teachings that are beyond their, you know, they should have got it. So Jesus is speaking. I love these verses because here's Jesus in John 14, and he's talking about going to a place. Now, I wasn't going to expound on it too much, but I think I will take a few minutes. Listen. So John 14, verse 1, Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust in me. Or believe in God, you believe in me. In my Father's house are many. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. You know where I'm going. And you know the way to the place and where I'm going. Now, I preach this message at funerals. This is a good reference to speak about, right? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I come back, I'm going to take you to be with me. You know, I want you to get something here. That message is a good message. But this passage has got to do with now. He said, I want you to come to my Father's house now. I want you to come and sit at the banqueting table now. I want you to taste the bounty now. Now, what are you going to say? What does that mean? This is not talking about heaven when we get there, even though I can preach a message at the funeral with this passage. Because the reference could be made about the future. But if you read the rest of this passage, Jesus is talking about now. Are you going to say, well, show me? Well, maybe you'll just have to read the whole chapter by yourself and you get a handle on it in a few minutes. But I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts here. He says, first of all, he says, in my Father's house. Okay, I'm going to just make a reference here. Jesus is saying, in my Father's house, there's room for everybody. That's what he said. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. You know, the word there isn't the word mansions. It's rooms to spare. You come to my house and you say, I want to crash at your house. I say, yeah, I got room to spare. Come on over. We got two extra bedrooms. You got the point? Jesus is saying there's room for everybody. And what is the Father's house? The Father's house is the place where Jesus lived. Jesus lived with a relationship with the Father that he was always at home with the Father. Father's house is a place where they had communion. Well, what's not breaking bread together? Where they would commune. A Father's house is a place where our ears to hear what he's saying. The Father's house is a place of intimacy. It's a place where we can hear from him, and place of wow, where we can be at rest. Let's follow the verses here. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered. I love this. So I want you to hear this. Jesus answered and said, and think about this. What's he saying? I am the way, the truth, and the... Now, what's he the way to? To where? To the Father. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me or by me. And then he says, if you really knew me, you would have known my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him or have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it'll be enough for us. Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been with you for such a long time? If anyone has seen me, has seen the... How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I... Listen, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me. When I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the... Come on, what's he saying? Works or miracles. At least believe on the evidence. Hey, I've been to my Father's house and I've heard his voice and he's commissioned me to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Jesus is saying, I've been to the Father's presence. He's asked me to administer the kingdom on earth. He's asked me to manifest his kingdom on earth. By and large, Jesus came to express eternal, spiritual, supernatural presence of God that's beyond the normal, beyond what we see here. And what's he here to do? He's here to administer the kingdom of God. And he says, believe me that I am from the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father. The Father is in me. And if you don't believe my words, hey, believe the works. Because the works manifest the presence of God. The works manifest that God is here. They would even say, no one can do these works unless God be with them. Remember, the disciples would say, or people who were listening and watching would say that. How can anyone do these works unless God was with him? Because these are works from another realm. Now, some people would say these are, you know, he's casting demons out with the power of demons. Now, they were a little bit deceived and fooled. And of course, the Lord had some words to say about that. We won't go there. But the works, you know, Jesus would say, how can the devil cast out devil? You know, just the point is it's God. It's greater power that's being manifested here because he has the authority and the power to do this in Jesus' name. Okay, now, Jesus is carrying the goods of heaven, and he's administering the goods of heaven. And when he's administering the goods of heaven, so I want you to see something here. There's something going on here, because we've already made reference to it. Because, you know, all the goods from heaven are the portion that his sons and daughters should have. You know, we should be experiencing the benefits of God. But guess what? There's a robber. There's a thief. There's a destroyer. There's a devil. There's the enemy of God. And somehow, he has this world in a place where the goods of heaven are shut up. It's almost like, and I think we as a people of God thinks that they're shut up and there's no way that we can access heavenly goods because the enemy has got power to keep the door shut. I love what you just read. I was going to make reference to that passage. That's a powerful word. Colossians 2, 14 and 15, or 13 and 14, what was it? Just put it back up there for a minute. So what does Jesus do? Let's see it together. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away and nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them by the cross. We're going to be talking more about how we need to reclaim the goods of heaven. Today is just a bit of a scratch today. I want to start living in that reality. How about you? I want to start living in a greater measure of the reality that the kingdom of heaven is available. Now, Jesus in John 14 doesn't end where we stop reading, because I want you to go back to that in a minute. Okay? But I want you, we'll go back to that in a minute. I want you to think about what Jesus is saying. He said, I have done all that is necessary that the goods of heaven, which were seemingly shut to you, seemingly the door was shut, I have now. Basically, what Jesus is saying, listen, the devil thinks he's got the key. In some ways, you know, he still has this, it's almost like here's the kingdom. Just picture this, kingdom of heaven is behind me. Picture this, all this area is locked up. You can't see anything. There's a door right here. Can you picture it? Everything's locked up, everything. There's the door behind me, and the devil sits here and says, you can't come in here. Shut up. Jesus says, guess what? You don't have the key anymore, devil. You might sit there, pretend like you can keep people out, but I've taken the key back. And it says that. He's taken the key, the authority, the power is ours. So he says, I have, and no wonder Jesus says in the gospel, he says, listen, all the authority to access heaven has been given to me. All authority in heaven, where? 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 Is given to who? Jesus. It's all authority in heaven, heavenly authority. The realm of the kingdom of heaven is given to me. And he says, now, because I've had that authority, he says, go and make followers of Jesus. And he says at the end of that section, and I am with you always. Okay, this is not just, okay, you go, and I'm going to tag along behind you. Can you picture that? Jesus saying, you go, and I'm just going to tag along and watch what you're doing. I'm going to observe to make sure you're doing it right. How about we just say that Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, listen, this authority comes with power, and it's going to come upon you by my Spirit. And when my Spirit comes on you, it'll be just like I'm with you. How many of you know John, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, the Spirit is leaving, but don't you worry about it, because when the Spirit leaves, I'm sending you another comforter, or really, the word is, I'm sending you a paraclete. And this is what he's saying is, I'm sending you who is one who has come along to be beside, who's come along to be with you. But he will not only be with you, he will be in you. I'm sending you a helper. I'm sending you all that you need to access. And you, all you got to do, basically, listen, all you have to do is say, the devil seems to be sitting in front of a closed door. Hey, you just say, devil, reach in my back pocket. Here's the key. And who is it? Jesus. 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 So we say in the name of? Jesus. In the name of? Jesus. In the name of? Jesus. Jesus. It's not just the name. It's what he carries. The authority. The power. There's authority in that name. There's something in that name. Because he has paid the price. He has defeated the enemy. Now, John chapter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, there's a quick reference, and I'm not going to get, you don't have to go to it, but if you want to make a quick reference, 1 John 3, 8, and I just think it's, I think you can get it there quicker than I can, 1 John 3, 8. It says here, the last, read the, all of it if you want, but look at the last part of the verse. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the... But listen, what is the reason? Why did Jesus come? The reason the Son of God appeared was to... Come on, let's say it again, the last part. To destroy the works of the devil. Anything evil, anything that is not good or godly... The source is the devil. Yeah, he comes through the sin, he comes through the curse, and it comes through the world in which we live. But Jesus came to destroy what the devil has put on the earth. So when Jesus is saying, listen, I'm coming to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, what he's saying is, I'm coming to destroy the devil's work. Because the devil work is destructive. It steals, it kills, and destroys. So we look at infirmity, we look at pain, we look at sickness, we look at... Now, source is not God. The source of evil, the source of all that's wrong in this world, anything that you... It is Satan and sin that has come as a result of, you know, the curse that has come, and it's just... Now, evidence in the world in which you live. Now, this is, it's not a reality. Come on, y'all live in the same reality that I do. Okay, so Jesus wants to come and say, okay, I've come to put an end to the devil's work. So what does he do? He sees sickness. He heals. He sees demons taking over people's body and mind and their spirit and their soul. He says, you don't belong. He sees any kind of illness. God doesn't, you know, God wants his kingdom to be manifested. So Jesus comes to manifest his kingdom in power. I love this expression. This is so important because when Jesus came, he just didn't come in word only. In 1 Corinthians, you know that reference in 1 Corinthians, it talks about Jesus coming and the reference is to do with his 1 Corinthians 4. Can you just turn to 1 Corinthians 4? 1 Corinthians 4. Is it verse 20 there? Verse 20. What does it say there? Read it again. Everybody read it for me. The kingdom of God is not a matter of, but of. And then the same chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, I don't come to you with words to persuade you of man's wisdom, but I come to you with demonstration of the power of God. And the references in 1 Corinthians 2 are just amazing because he said what Paul is saying is, I can give you words of man's wisdom. I can give you convincing arguments. As a matter of fact, I think he was a pretty good debater. His writings are just like that. But he said, that's not what convinces you. I can try to convince you with my words. And likely I can. But he said, unless there is a power of God that's behind it, your faith is not, it's not going to stand. You're not. So there is a place where the message needs to be in the demonstration of the Spirit's power, verse 4. So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And he talks about this. And where does this come from? If you read the rest of that chapter, it has to do with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to go to a verse that you're all familiar with, because so just keep going. We won't read all of it, these verses, but I want you to read down to look at verse 9. It's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It says, however, as it is written, no eye has, nor ear has, no mind has, what God has prepared for those who? Oh, that's when I get to heaven. Because in my Father's house are many. Where's that? In heaven. How about here on earth? You know what's interesting? That verse has got nothing to do with heaven. Look what it says the next part. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. How do we start asking God? God, eyes have not seen yet, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the, in our mind, has conceived what you can do for those who love you. Now go back to John 14. I said we're going back to that chapter. In John 14, Jesus, he's talking about the kingdom being expressed through his works, because he is drawing from the Father. He's obedient to God. He's listening to the Father, and the Father reveals to him what to do. You know, that's really, I want you to get something here. The key to operating in the kingdom is an intimate relationship with the Father. How many times have I tried to think, I remember Bob saying this, and Prophet Bob, and I always remember this. He said he was so zealous about the realities of the kingdom, the supernatural realities. He was so zealous as a young man that he said to the people that he was ministering to, he says, I'm going to go walk on that river. And it was a river by his house, and he called all the people to come and watch what he would walk on the water. And he said, I just started on top of the water, and I went right down. Is that a kingdom reality, a possibility? How about if it wasn't that God didn't particularly say that you should do that? How about being in that intimate place to know that is God for you? You know, sometimes we look at the works of Jesus and the works of God and we say, well, that's how it is. Okay, let's have everybody, all the pagans, gather them together. Okay, you pagans, you cry out to God. I'm going to build myself an altar. Let's pour water on the altar. Let's get all the water. Let's get that altar wet. All right, now you pagans, you cry out to your God. Whoever it is, you witches and warlords, cry out to God. Let's see if you can bring fire from heaven. And poof, you know, and of course nothing happens. And you're going to say, well, I believe in the name of my God, and I'm going to call fire from heaven. Nothing happens. Did God call you to do that? Why am I saying that? There's a place of intimacy. Jesus says, I do only that which my Father has said for me to do. Jesus says in John 14, let's read it again. Verse 10. Don't you believe that I am in the, and the Father is in? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who's doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Now, the next part is really key here, because Jesus doesn't just relegate that power and that authority to himself. He actually trusts Holy Spirit. He trusts Holy Spirit, who's living in you and living in me, to do the same works. And he says, even greater than these shall you do. Who does he trust? Holy Spirit. He trusts God, the Father. He trusts the voice of the Father. The voice of the Father, because in that place where you hear the voice of the Father and hear the voice of the Spirit, something happens and God makes a connection. And I'm convinced that God wants to do more. I'm convinced that God wants to manifest his kingdom in a greater measure, in a greater authority, and dealing with the stuff that we're dealing with. Come on, I am saying, God, do it. Do it in my day. Do it in my life. Do it through my life. And he says in this passage, let's read it. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. And where am I going? Where am I going? How about I'm going to the Father, not only just to prepare a little room for you somewhere, but I'm going to my Father, and if you recognize that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the, through me. So you come to me, you come and look at me and seeing that I have access to the Father's goods. Where's Jesus now? Father's hands. So he says, I have access to the goods of heaven. I have the authority. I have the key. Now, you want the key? You want to open that door? Well, only way you're going to do it is come through Jesus. So when we say we come through the name of Jesus, we're saying we're coming through Jesus' way. We're coming through Jesus' truth. We're coming through Jesus' life. Whoa. So I can just say, Lord, let your way lead me. We talked last week about Jesus culture. How many were here for the message? If you missed it, get on, listen to the message. I talked about what it is to have a kingdom culture, to recognize that Jesus is in you, to change you, that you and I can live the Jesus way. I want to live the Jesus way. I want to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. That I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. So, Lord, let me die daily. Let me die daily to me, that Jesus may live. Any unbelief in me because of my insecurities and my ungodly belief system, I want them dead. I want to be able to walk with Jesus in his way. I want to walk in truth of what he says. I want to walk in the life that he imparts. Come on, Lord, do it. More of what you got to do in me, Lord, do it. John the Baptist made this expression, and I really don't know, you know, in accuracy of me using it, but I'm going to use it anyways. He says, I must decrease. He must increase. I think it ought to be, I must die, he must live. I think that's more accurate. I must die, he must live. Come on, Lord, do it again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. So the faith that's in me, I want you to see something. The faith that's in me, that's the problem. The problem is we see faith as what I have. How about we see faith as to who he is in me? The faith that's in me is not me, but it's Christ living in me. I pray for an impartation and a new revelation of seeing that the greater works that he will do is he will do, I will do, but he will do through me by his Spirit. Are you getting it? It's him doing it in you by his Spirit, because the work that Jesus began to do, he still continues to do.